that we get to celebrate today is those mothers that have impacted us. There may be, it may not actually be your biological mother. The good news is, as the pastor of this church, I turned 30 years old the second week we lived here in Shelby. If you can do some math, you can probably figure out how old I am. Some people think it's older because they don't have any hair. But the good news is that I have a lot of mothers. And I'm thankful for each of you and the role of encouragement that you've played in my life and how you've continued to serve and show the example of Christ-likeness in the midst of that. This morning, I do want to continue as we begin to look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, what's unique, I would like to tell you that I did this on purpose, but that would not be true. The Apostle Paul in chapter 4 deals specifically with the role of parenting. The last section that we'll look at this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 deals with this type of spiritual parenting, the role of what a parent does, how they encourage and build up and serve and love their families and grow their children. You know, as we reflect a time together of baby dedication, as we, I remember and I shared that picture with you a few moments ago of being able to dedicate my own children and making that commitment together, not only as the body of Christ, but as an individual, knowing that we walk together. You know, ultimately, there are things I know that my family wouldn't have been able to endure had it not been for the body of Christ, had it not been for other believers coming alongside of us, encouraging us, and helping us to grow. You know, one of the things we all know as parents is we don't have all the answers, right? Did any of you get an instruction manual when they gave you your child? I did. I can guarantee you that moment they handed me Jadis in the hospital room in Missoula, and I remember this distinct thought. I have no clue what I'm doing. Anybody else had that feeling? I mean, sometimes it happens more than maybe than just with children. But in that moment, there was this recognition that I needed some help. The book of 1 Corinthians, I think, is one of those books that helps us really, in a very human sense, to recognize that there are some times that we need some help. There are some times that we need encouragement. There are some times that we as the body of Christ need to recognize that we are in this together. This morning we're going to talk specifically about sharing in the gospel. Now, not sharing the gospel, but sharing in the gospel. That we are united together by the blood of Christ. As individual believers, we have been called and commissioned to go and to share the hope of Jesus with the world around us. We talk about the Great Commission. We look at Acts chapter 2. We see examples and pictures of what it looks like to go into the community around us. You know, one of the things that we talk about here in our church, we want to be for Shelby. What we do, how we serve, different events and activities, our Easter egg hunt, trunk or treat, PBS, whatever it might be, those are events that we want to serve and love our community. But the way that we do that better is by serving and loving one another. The challenge as a body of believers sometimes is that we can tend to become inwardly focused. That this becomes about us. That church is about what we do here in the walls. But the body of Christ is about what happens in the kingdom. How we serve outside of this setting. How we serve in the community and jobs and families in which we exist. The Apostle Paul deals with that specifically in chapter 4. As we walk through the book of 1 Corinthians and these first few chapters, really three issues continue to arise as we reflect through these things. The first one, as I mentioned in our announcements, is the picture of cooperation. What it means to work together. How when we give, others benefit. And when we don't, others struggle. That as the body of Christ, it's not a mine and ours, but it's an us and them. That we serve together. That when we invest, when we give, not just monetarily, but when we serve and are involved in the body of Christ, we are cooperating together to go out into the world to share the love of Christ. See, what a great thing it is that we have been called to do. The Apostle Paul gives some challenging words if you haven't been with us in these first four chapters. He starts out really, as I've shared with you before, in Philippians. The book of Philippians is a book of great joy and celebration of a church that was just getting it right. 1 Corinthians is not so much. The church in Corinth had begun to fight amongst itself. they've become very self-focused and inwardly driven. They've begun to fight about things that really produced nothing good. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 talks about there are some who say, well, I follow Paul, and I follow Cephas, and I follow Apollos, and then even some dared to say, I follow Christ. You see, sometimes even in the life of the church, we can become so distracted by what we feel and what we think and what we want that we forget who it's really about. We forget that the church was not established for us, but that we have been called and commissioned to serve the body of Christ for the kingdom's sake. That when Jesus died on the cross, he died for each of us individually. But because of that, we in turn go and share that love with others. See, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing the body of Christ serving, loving, and encouraging, cooperating together. But unfortunately, as I was told many years ago by a pastor friend of mine, this statement, where there are people, there are problems. Would you agree with that? Where there are people, there are problems. None of you have ever raised your hand, so I make the assumption that it hasn't changed. I've asked the question numerous times if any of you are perfect. Anybody want to change your answer now? None of us have been able to profess that. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we ourselves forget that this wasn't created for us. The Apostle Paul deals specifically with some challenging issues. Last chapter, last week, we talked about the issue of immaturity. That we as Christians sometimes kind of are stunted in our growth. Maybe we made it to spiritual teenagers and all we do is live in rebellion. Maybe we didn't ever get past toddlers. Maybe we're still just kind of dabbling and hoping that we begin to figure something out. And then there are those of us who have matured into adults, and as we continue to grow, the Apostle Paul deals with that into chapter 4. The first 5 verses, Paul deals specifically with what it means to be faithful stewards. What it means to be commissioned as followers of Christ to deal with His kingdom and the things that we have been given faithful. Let me read these first 5 verses for us as we begin this morning. It says, a person should consider us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of God's mysteries. In this regard, it is expected as managers that each one be found faithful. It is of little importance that I should be evaluated by you or by human courts. In fact, I don't even evaluate myself. For I am not conscious of anything against myself, but I am not justified by this. The one who evaluates me is the Lord. Therefore, do not judge anything prematurely, because before the Lord comes, and who will bring the light to light what is hidden in the darkness and reveal the intentions of the heart, and then praise will come to each one from God. You know, one of the challenges that we have as Christians is to remember that all the things that we have been given, we didn't create. That we have been entrusted, that we have been called and provided the resources and tools in order to steward. We think about Mother's Day this morning as we think about being a parent. Ultimately, that's our role, isn't it? To be good stewards of our children. To train them, to raise them, to encourage them. None of us as parents have always figured out all the right answers. All of us will look back and think, I wish I had done this differently. I think I could have helped in this area. But as Christians, we have been called to continue in that process as well. That we are to steward the resources in which God has called us. The Apostle Paul deals specifically in verse 1 with that issue. It says, a person should consider us in this way, as servants of Christ and managers of God's mysteries. Now, Paul deals, he sets up really the precedent for who he is. You see, those in the church in Corinth had actually begun to worship the wrong things. They had begun to look at people and individuals as their source of wisdom. But Paul helped them to recognize that ultimately all of those things fell short of the wisdom of God. Paul says who he is. He establishes for us who we are to be in that simple word, servants. Servants. How many of you aspired as a young child to be a servant? Were any of you encouraged to say your life should be a life of servitude? Is that the profession that you had hoped for? Probably not. So I think sometimes we struggle with the idea of what it means to serve. Let's be honest, we live in a very self-serving world, right? I mean, you turn on the radio, you watch TV, and it says that the world is about who? Me. It's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what makes me comfortable. It's about what is going to bring me the most joy. Buy this, go here, do this, and that's going to bring you fulfillment. But none of us come to this position naturally of servant. This word servanthood is a unique word. In Greek, it's actually the word doulos. And it's translated more of slave than it is servant. But it's a unique kind of slave. It's the word doulos. And the word doulos is a bond servant. Someone who has been set free from slavery, but chooses to live a life of service. Now let's think about that from a spiritual perspective for just a moment. What does sin do to us? It enslaves us. Sin enslaves us. So much of our lives we spent in chains by the sin that encumbered us. But ultimately, when we receive Christ, those chains have been broken and we have been set free. But we come back to God recognizing that unto ourselves, we weren't able to produce our salvation. We couldn't do the things necessary to merit that. But Jesus gave himself willingly for us. And so because of that, we turn in service, recognizing that we, as the Holman Christian says, are managers. Other translations say stewards. As managers or stewards, are you the owner of the thing? Right? How many of you have ever managed something? Some of you have. Do you own that something? Not typically, right? If you are the manager, you have just been entrusted with guiding, directing, investing, whatever it might be, that thing. The Apostle Paul uses that analogy with our faith, that as we have been entrusted with this truth, we are to manage and steward it well. It says that ultimately we are managing and stewarding the mysteries of God. Verse 2 says that we are to be found faithful. It says, in this regard, it is expected as managers that each one be found faithful. That word can be translated as the word trustworthy. Someone that you would give over what is most valuable to you. That we are to be found faithful because ultimately God gave us what is most valuable to him. We go back to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what God gave to us. That is the great mystery provided to us. That is what we are called to steward. And we have been challenged and encouraged and sharpened to do that faithfully. Philippians 3:13 gives us a perspective of where Paul views himself. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, or I yet have not taken hold of this. I haven't figured out all the answers, but you'll recognize that, forgetting what is behind and doing what? Pressing forward to what is ahead. I wonder how many of us struggle to steward the things that God has given us because we live in the past. The previous hurts and habits and hang-ups that cause us to struggle with others. Maybe unforgiven sin and challenges that have haunted us for years. Maybe we're drugged down by the things that have gone before us. And we can't manage to see what is ahead. The Apostle Paul, now for just a minute, let's take a moment and recognize who Paul was. Paul was what we would call a patristic father. He was one of the most prolific teachers, preachers, ever to exist. He wrote the vast majority of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul himself says, I haven't got it all figured out. Did any of you write a New Testament book yet? I look at the Apostle Paul and I think, man, if Paul doesn't get it, where am I? Paul charges us, he encourages us, church, keep growing. To be faithful stewards means that we are continually investing, that we are continue growing and developing in the midst of those things. Verse 5 gives us this picture that eventually God will come. That God will come and he will give us a clearer perspective of the mysteries in which we have been charged with. But you see, Paul deals in the midst of those five verses with another challenging issue. Paul says that I am not justified by this in verse 4. The one who evaluates me is the Lord. Verse 3 says, it is little importance that I should be evaluated by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't evaluate myself. Paul here is dealing with a subject that is probably close to home for many of us. It's easy to judge others, isn't it? It's easy to look at others' lives and say, well, they're doing that wrong. We know from the example in Scripture, the plank and the splinter example, right? Remove the plank from your own eye before you remove the splinter from your brother's. Paul had come under accusation from those in Corinth. Remember, they thought they had it figured out. These were the smartest of the smartest people in all of the world, right? They had all the Facebook articles that they could ever imagine, and they knew everything. Nobody was listening to it. They thought they had all the answers. They told Paul, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. And Paul says, it doesn't matter what you think, it matters what God thinks. How often are we willing to compromise the things that we've been called to steward based on the opinion of the world around us? Rather than looking and recognizing ultimately what matters is, are we living in a way that glorifies God? Are we living in a way that points others to Jesus? I can tell you from a personal perspective, it can be hard to not allow other people's opinions to change how I interact with other people. I'd like to tell you as I've gotten older, it's gotten better, that I don't worry as much about other people's opinions of me. But all of us probably have struggled with that, haven't we? We do things, we go places, we buy stuff, because, well, somebody else doesn't. Church, the opinion of this world will fade. It's temperamental. I mean, I'm sorry. If you looked at fashion lately, they're wearing clothes from the 90s. I saw a person wearing a fanny pack yesterday. That was terrible the first time. Listen, if we're allowing the world to evaluate, to give us the standards by which we should live, we will fall short. We will struggle. We will find ourselves lost and confused. But ultimately, God has given us Christ. We've been called to be faithful stewards of that great mystery. Secondly, in verses 6 through 13, I want us to look at this picture of then how we deal with what we have been called to steward as humble servants. Let me read verses 6 through 13. I'm sorry if anybody has a fanny pack and I just ruined your day. Anybody wear a fanny pack? Sorry. Don't raise your hand if you have a fanny pack. I'll just pray for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the same. Nothing beyond what is written. The purpose is that none of you will be inflated with pride in favor of one person over another. For who makes you superior? What do you have that you didn't receive? In fact, you didn't receive it. Why do you boast as if you hadn't received it? Already you are full. Already you are rich. You have begun to reign as kings without us. And I wish you did reign so that we also could reign with you. For I think God has displayed us, the apostles, in last place. Like men condemned to die, we have become a spectacle to the world and angels and to men. We are fools for Christ, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Up to the present hour, we both are hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed, roughly treated, homeless. We labor working with our hands. When we have reveled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we have slandered, we entreat. When we are even now like the world's garbage, like the filth of all things. Now, Paul was a pretty disparaging, gives us a pretty disparaging picture of his own character, right? Paul sets for us a new perspective on humility. Humility is one of those things that probably doesn't come naturally for any of us. Anybody just naturally humble? If you raise your hand, you're not. We're just going to see if you catch it. None of us are naturally humble. None of us like to take last place. None of us like to be the losers. As we read that list, we're like, holy cow, Paul didn't have food, he didn't have water, he didn't have clothes. That sounds like a bummer. But you see, Paul's perspective was on an eternal kingdom. Recognizing that all the things that we have in this world are temporary. They won't last. We can store up all of the treasures we could ever imagine here on this earth, but they will fade. In light of the kingdom of God, in light of eternity, that's where we're called to invest. Paul understood, and he gave a perspective that's challenging for many of us, because when things get hard, we think, I don't deserve this. I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you picking on me? Why are you being mean to me? So many times we turn into ourselves and we think that it's about us. Paul sets the record straight. He says this, the purpose is that none of you will be inflated with pride in favor of one person over another. For what makes you so superior? What have you done that you didn't receive? I mean, that kind of steps on our toes, doesn't it, church? I mean, in reality, Paul is saying, you really didn't do anything, but Christ did everything. How many of you have ever been knocked off your high horse before? I don't have to describe that for you. Some of us have experienced it probably more recently than we would like. Sometimes we get this inflated idea that we've got something figured out, and then something comes along and it knocks us off our high horse. Paul here helps us spiritually to recognize we have to realize who has given us everything. He then changes his tone and reminds them ultimately of where true wisdom is sourced. You look at verse 10. We are fools for Christ, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. Church, whatever you may be enduring, you may feel powerless, you may feel hopeless, you may feel lost and unwise and struggling to find peace in the midst of those things, lean in to Christ. Stop looking for wisdom from the world. Stop leaning on the world to give you some source of stability. Lean in to Christ. The Apostle Paul helps us to realize time and time and time again through the book of 1 Corinthians that we together are bought by the blood of Christ, and through that we are built up. He gives us now this new understanding. He says, up to the present hour, he describes his setting. He says, we labor with our own hands. We are reviled and we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we entreat. We are even now like the world's garbage, like the filth of all things. Church, that's the picture of humility. That's the picture of humility, recognizing that ultimately we don't deserve anything that we have been given, but we have been given everything through Christ. You think about for a moment what the Apostle Paul says as he charges us to recognize that when you are reviled, when people reject you, rather than rejecting them, turn to bless. When people persecute you, pick on you, make fun of you for whatever it is, endure it. When you are slandered, you don't slander back, you build others up. You see, that's the example of Christ likeness. That's what Jesus did for us. As we conclude this morning, I want to read these last few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. As the Apostle Paul talks about what it means to be spiritual parents, that Paul, remember, established this church. He planted the church in Corinth, and for him, he loved these people dearly. He invested in them like a parent invested in us. Think back in your own life. Maybe it wasn't your own parent. Maybe it was your mother, your dad, whoever it might be. But there are those who invested in us to train and encourage and build us up in the Lord. That's the opportunity that we have this morning. Let's look at verse 14. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. For you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you can't have many fathers. Now I have fathered you in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to be imitators of me. This is why I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you about the ways in Christ Jesus, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are inflated with pride as though I am not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the talk, but the power of those who are inflated with pride. For the kingdom of God is not talk, but it is power. What do you want? Should I come to you with a rod or in love and the spirit of gentleness? The Apostle Paul tells us that one of the roles that we play as believers, as we mature as Christians, that we are to be investing in others as spiritual parents. Paul reminds the church in Corinth that they didn't learn anything until the Holy Spirit revealed it to them through Paul's teaching. I wonder this morning, maybe as you thank your mothers, maybe you take a minute to thank them for how they were not just a physical parent to you, but a spiritual parent. Maybe there's someone who invested in your life that wasn't a relative of yours, but in many ways led you to the Lord. Maybe today, give them a call. Say, thank you for helping me to grow as a Christian. Maybe this morning, you need to be a spiritual parent. A few weeks ago, I shared with you this charge as we talked about approaching Easter, this who's your one challenge. Some of you may still have your card. I hope you do. Maybe you put that card on in your Bible or in your car or on your mirror, and you've been praying for someone who needs to hear the hope of Jesus. Maybe this is the week that you help them to see, not just through your life, but guide them to a saving relationship with Christ. Maybe this morning you just need to invest in their life as a parent. Come alongside them, encourage, build them up. Thank you for those who have helped and parented many in this room. Maybe this morning we just need to take a minute and recognize that we're still children and we still have things to learn. There are things that we can grow in, things that we can develop in as we follow after Jesus. The Apostle Paul doesn't tell us these things to hurt our feelings. He doesn't tell us these things to step on our toes. But he tells us ultimately that we are called to grow as followers of Christ, to in turn be parents to others, showing them the love of Jesus, and from that, exemplifying the life of Christ to the world around us. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for how you've invested. Mothers, thank you specifically for ways that you have served and given and provided and taught in places that we have probably never recognized. My hope is that as we go from this place, that we'll see the world around us as an opportunity, as the mission field that God has called us to serve. That we would serve it humbly. That we would be faithful in that calling as the worship team leads.